We're going to continue our study in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. We've been reminded of the account of our creation, that we're made and designed to worship God, to look after the world that He created. Genesis 2 had a more detailed account of the creation of man and woman, created in God's image. They were meant to be fruitful, multiply, because it was not good for anyone to be alone. You know, the worst form of punishment that we can do here in Australia is isolation. If people go into jail, and if they play up in jail, they go into isolation. They cannot be there indefinitely because it sends people mad. We were not meant to be alone. So God created Adam and Eve, placed him in the garden, gave him the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we saw last week which one they chose to eat from, not from the tree of life. And as a result, we see from chapter 4 onward the rapid fall into sinfulness. Never meant to be by God. JJ reminded us the tree of life, which they were now excluded from, is found in Revelation, the future hope. But that doesn't mean we have to wait. We don't have to wait till then to eat from the tree of life. You know, the tree of life is available to us today. If I read this passage in Galatians 3:13, you might guess where the tree of life is. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. Jesus bore our punishment for us. We now have available to us the tree of life, the cross. And that's a wonderful thing. So the fruit of the tree is life. So the way has been reopened for us through Jesus. That's what we remember with the broken body and the blood of Jesus. We remember that it's been opened to us. And today we're going to start moving a bit quicker from chapter 4 through to chapter 11, which obviously we can't do in detail. And I'd encourage you to go home and read it. If you don't have a Bible, come and see me. I'll give you a Bible, a gift from the church. But you might remember in chapter 3, sin entered the world. There was a rebellion against the authority of God, our Creator. And we have seen right from then the consequences that God said, eat from the tree and you will die. We see death. And the next recorded crime is a crime that always shocks us, isn't it? We hear it on the news and we still are shocked when family members kill each other. Adam and Eve had two boys, Cain and Abel, and it appears the murder was motivated by Cain's jealousy because of Abel's proper devotion to God. I want to read what God says to Cain after the murder. Genesis 4:10. The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me out of the land and I will be hidden from your presence. I'll be a restless wanderer on the earth. Whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." And the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod. Nod means wanderer, east of Eden. You notice nothing goes unnoticed by God. Even death does not limit God. From the sinless perfection of the garden to the murder of a brother by a brother, human sinfulness can be easily seen. We should not try just to blame. We can't just blame Adam and Eve and say, look, it's all their fault, is it? Because each one of us has been involved in sin. We've all sinned against God. From Cain, we can see his family tree. And six generations later in Genesis chapter 4, there is a guy named Lamech. And Lamech is the first one recorded who's had two wives. So God's intention was for one wife, but here's Lamech, two wives, and he's boastfully, arrogantly speaking. Chapter 4, verse 23. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I've killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. His boast to his wife is that he's even more powerful than God. If God will avenge Cain seven times, he will do it 77 times. The boastful pride. We're going from sin to murder to a boastful existence where we can see in our world today, you turn the news on, you might know people who almost dare God, do something to me. Cut me down. I dare you. Well, there seems to be no hope until we get this verse in chapter 4, verse 25. Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Do you find it amazing that two or three generations from Adam and Eve, and they've forgotten God? Is that just amazing? They must have heard the stories. They must have. But you know what? It reminds us today that God has no grandchildren. We can be children of God, but none of us can rely upon the parents' faith. It always has to be a personal faith with God, a walking with God, a life of walking with God. Walking with God is a way that the Bible talks about. It talks about ongoing intimate relationship with God. And I want to give you an example. In Genesis chapter 5, that's one of those chapters that we easily miss because, you know why? That's a genealogy. You know, we often miss those. This bloke lived so many years, he was the father of this guy, the dad lived so many more years. And it goes on and on and on. But you know what we find in Genesis chapter 5? We find, and then he died. And then he died. Then he died. Then he died. Then he died. God said, didn't he? Eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you will die. Now, it's almost been rammed home to us. But there is one exception now to this. The seventh generation, I don't know if you've seen the bulletin, there's a little diagram that I've done just out of interest about the generations. There's the coloured one on the inside of the bulletin. The seventh generation, we find this guy, and let me read Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Although Enoch lived 365 years, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Why was Enoch different? It didn't end with, and then he died. It was because he walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And if you missed it, you know, they mention it twice. Enoch walked with God. It doesn't say he was an obedient slave. It doesn't say that he was religious. It doesn't say he had a bit of religion in him. He walked with God. What a beautiful image that is. An invitation to walk with God. So let me take you back to Genesis 3. With that in mind, think about Genesis 3:8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. the Lord called, God called to the man, "Where are you?" God wanted his companions to walk with. He wanted Adam and Eve to walk with him. God's desire is for us all to walk with him. And it's only through Jesus, and we remember the broken body this morning already, it's only through Jesus that we can. And so if I'm going to give this talk another name, I'd call it Seeds of Grace or the Gospel in Embryo, because it's exactly what we're seeing here. We're going to see grace. You know what grace is? Grace is a gift. We're going to see it work through. So Enoch was the seventh generation. Any guesses who might be the tenth generation? No? Did someone say Noah? Ah, yeah, I thought someone said Noah. Look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah and said, "He will comfort us in the labour and painful toil of our hands, because by the ground the Lord has cursed." After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Although Lamech lived 777 years, and then he died. This was not the Lamech who had the boastful cry about repay better than God 77 times. But it's interesting, don't you think, that Lamech lived 777 years. But Noah's name, it means rest. Was it a prayer? Was it a prophecy? We don't know. But most of us know the story of Noah. There's a bit of a movie on it, isn't there, recently about Noah? You know the story. But let's see why the flood came. Chapter 6, verse 5. "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe mankind, whom I've created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, the birds of the air, for I'm grieved that I've made them.' Every inclination of the human heart was evil all the time." When we are motivated by what do I get out of this, that shows the human heart. Let me give you some other questions that we often find ourselves. How is this going to affect me? What's it going to cost me? Why should I do it? What about them? Why should I care? Questions which show the human heart's inclination to evil. Who here is not guilty of such thoughts? Why should I care about God? But that's why it takes me, of course, to that very passage in Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Who here has not sinned? I mean, all of us have sinned. But we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so the big question is not why did God flood the earth and kill everyone and have everyone destroyed. The big question is, why would he save Noah? Why would he save Noah? Noah's heart was touched by sin. Noah had fallen short. And there's nothing that he did that deserved to be saved. Noah wasn't too good to be drowned. If you think that he was, well, look what the very thing he does after he comes out of the ark. What's he do? He builds a vineyard. He grows a vineyard. He gets the grapes. He makes his wine. He gets so drunk that he falls down naked in his tent. His younger son sees him and he curses him. Isn't that a sign of a dysfunctional family? Had sin survived the flood? Yes. How did it do that? It's in the hearts of the people God saved. There's a wonderful word in chapter 6, verse 8. And the first word is but. Okay? But Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord. That word favour is the same word as grace. Okay? So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's really interesting, I find, that Noah is spelled with two letters in the Hebrew. You know, it's written originally in Hebrew. The words grace or favour is the same two letters just turned down the other way. It's almost as they're pointing out that Noah is the grace of God on the world. And I also love that Noah found favour. I mean, it's almost like he looked into God's eyes. He looked into God's eyes expecting what he deserved, to be punished and judged. But what did he find? He didn't find that. He found grace. And surely that's each one of our experiences. If we were confronted by God, surely we'd find wrath, rightful wrath, judgment. And what would we find? Well, I've got good news. Because of Jesus, we'll find grace. We'll find favour. That's it. Each one of our experiences. And Noah understood grace. But grace doesn't let you live any way you want. You don't get it when you become a Christian. You don't get a get out of jail free card so that you can do anything you want, so that when you get to heaven you just waver and just go right in. What grace gives us is the ability to walk with God. Look at chapter 6, verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. The only other people, another person who walked with God is Enoch. We have to go back to Enoch to see someone who walked with God. And of course, righteous and blameless does not mean sinless. Noah was a man who sinned. Righteous means that he was in a right relationship with God. This relationship is marked by love and grace and forgiveness by God. That's what comes from God. That's the characteristic that God shows in this relationship. And you know what the characteristics that Noah shows in this relationship? Love and devotion, obedience. That's just what Andrew said, say, when we were looking at that passage in John. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. This is the characteristic of a right relationship with God. Confessing and repentance. That is a characteristic of a right relationship with God. When I do something wrong, I admit it and I ask God for forgiveness. That's a characteristic of a right relationship with God. Today, we can be blameless if we are in Christ. And again, we come back to that table time and time again. God will not hold your sin against you. When you face your judge, you will not find wrath, you will find forgiveness and grace and favour. And that should surprise all of us, because we know we deserve otherwise. Well, so sin didn't escape the flood, it came through, and later on we find, of course, humanity coming together, and they want to build a big tower, don't they? They want to go to the heavens. They want a high tower from the heavens where they can make a name for themselves. And so God confuses them and gives them different languages. He gives them different languages. And we see God confusing and scaring people. But later in Acts, in the New Testament, we're going to come up to Pentecost soon, but we'll see that the disciples are given the ability to speak all different languages, and there they are gathering people not for a human name, for God's name. And we see the reversing of the effects of human sinfulness. But there's one more thing I want to mention here about this passage, these chapters in Genesis. It's a thing we're going to come across more and more as we go through Genesis and through the whole of the Bible. This is the first time the word covenant is mentioned. You know what covenant is? It's agreement. We covenant with each other. We make agreements with each other. And God makes a covenant with human beings. And you know what human beings have to do? Nothing. God is making a covenant with human beings. He's going to be faithful to his covenant. The human beings will not have to do a thing. Look at chapter 9, verse 11. This is after the flood. They're out now. They're safe. And God says, I will establish my covenant with you, my agreement with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is the sign of the covenant I make between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds. It will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. God makes his covenant with people, and the greatest covenant that we're going to see is Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus brings us into relationship with him. We can walk with God. We can walk with God because we have our sins forgiven. We look into God's face and we see grace because we've had our sins forgiven. And today, each one of us can walk with God, the one true God. God has established Jesus Christ as Lord of everything. So walking with God means you recognise Jesus as Lord. I want to read from Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scriptures say, anyone who trusts in me will never be put to shame. Today is the best day to start your walk with God. Bob, to come and pray for us as we conclude.